Good morning. So my name is David Heller, and I am from the Palo Verde Nuclear Generating Station. And I've been in the human resources area my entire career of about 35 to 40 years of human resources. 30 of those years have been nuclear human resources. So I'm kind of a strange bird in that I've been in this field for so long. I've been associated with knowledge management since around 2001. And so I'm going to show you what I think will be practical solutions and approaches to knowledge management at a nuclear power plant. And they're very applicable to research and development, to technical support organizations, and oversight and assessment organizations. So at Palo Verde, we believe succession planning, which means the development of people, starts at the time of hire. We are looking at our organization 5, 10, and 15 years out. So when we talk about competencies, we talk about skills for the future, we talk about capability, we're looking to make sure we're looking not just to fill the immediate vacancy and the need, but we're looking long term, because knowledge management is about a continuum over time with people. So I wanted to talk about that continuum. And I'm going to talk about this throughout my lectures throughout the week and reinforce this message. There's three types of people in an organization. There are people who are new to the business, new to the organization. There are people who go through a training program that's certified or regulated. And at the end of the training program, they come out as independent, competent workers. And then finally, you've got people who are your systems experts, your go-to people, the people who hold that. Okay, so how do you work the button?
Which one?
The laser button. Oh, on top?
Laser on top.
Okay. So when we look at this, and we've got a little bit off course here, we'll cover it all right now, is the time period between somebody who's new to the organization and the time they become an independent, competent worker at a U.S. nuclear power plant, and it may be different for your organization, is 1 to 4 years. By the time it takes them to become an independent, competent worker, it's another 4 to 10 years. To become a senior reactor operator at a U.S. nuclear facility is between 8 to 10 years. So at a Russian facility, it's probably about the same. It'll be the same for any other plant, because you've got to go through a process. Auxiliary operator training, reactor operator training, time period to get experiences, and then senior reactor operator training. So there's a continuum of talent, of growth in an organization. And so each of these organizations have roles, responsibilities. Human resources owns the responsibility to make sure that they're hiring the right talent into the industry, and they're putting them through particular programs. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that today. And then training is going to talk about what are some independent sort of training that goes on to get them ready for that next level. And finally, what the manager. And so there's a process of knowledge transfer, risk assessment, and it happens between these two gaps. So throughout the week, I'm going to talk about each of these sort of gaps to help you understand how we look at it at a U.S. NPP, U.S. Nuclear Power Plant. So this is just a fundamental concept and a quick picture diagram to illustrate the life cycle of an employee in any organization. NPP, R&D, regulatory, tech support. So when you link that process up with another process of workforce planning, and you look at a larger process, and Andre talked a lot about business planning, linking business planning with workforce analytics, and we're going to talk about this a little bit later on today in very detail, into workforce development, execution, and metrics. We're talking about making sure we understand what are the critical job skills we need for the future. That's the business planning. We're understanding the attrition and loss risk for the future. What do we need in our pipeline programs? how are we going to develop our pipeline program, then how are we going to measure them at the end? How are we going to measure, too many buttons here. How are we going to measure their performance? And so knowledge management links with workforce planning to ensure we've got the right competencies we need for the future. And so this presentation is understanding those competencies. What are those U.S. competencies and standards that have been put together? And those same competencies I'm going to show you have also been adapted by the Czech Republic. And they're public domain competencies. So what I'm going to show you, you could use in your organization if you want to, and you think it has value to help you ensure you're developing the right talent for the future. So at Palo Verde, and a pipeline program may look like this, but this is the Palo Verde pipeline program. This is how we develop talent into the system. We have an internship program, summer internship program, and we have somebody out there who's just definitely not having a good day. Oh, white sheets, okay. We have our operator auxiliary operator training program. These are the non-licensed operators. We have our reactor operator, licensed operator training program. We have a maintenance internship and apprenticeship program. We train our employees, the craft workers, the skilled craftsmen who are working on the equipment, because without them, and the equipment doesn't work effectively well, the operators cannot do their job effectively well. It's all part of that whole sequence. Our engineering development program, because you have to have your engineers in nuclear power. And finally, a radiation protection technology program. These are our primary pipeline programs, and it would be anybody's primary pipeline program into an NPP, and maybe your pipeline program for R&D, or your pipeline program into, if your regulatory assessment may look a little different, but you'll focus on things like reactor safety, radiological safety. You'll be focusing on safety systems, safeguards. So you may have different programs, but you should have some type of development program to bring people in, because without bringing new people into the organization, you have no place to transfer the knowledge to. Think about it. It's like a pipeline. You've got knowledge. In order to use that knowledge and make it grow, you've got to give it to somebody. And if you don't have a development pipeline coming in, then that knowledge will leave, and it will stay there in maybe some system, but people may not understand what they're reading. So pipeline programs are important. So in the U.S., you may have seen these stats, maybe not. We're going to need approximately 100,000 workers in the next several years to replace the types of skill sets we're going to lose in total energy, not nuclear, but total energy. This includes nuclear and non-nuclear power. We're going to need about 22,000 linemen, 28,000 utility workers. These are general plant. We have 12,000 plant operators, non-nuclear, 10,000 engineers. That's the good news for those who have engineering degrees. And then 30,000 technicians in nuclear. So this is a snapshot of what the U.S. industry is going to need and where we're going to get this. How are we going to develop these people coming into the organization? What are the competency-based education? So we're going to talk about this today. So balancing the supply and demand for energy technicians. Yesterday you heard John Day talk about a strategy to manage knowledge for over 100 years. Think about that. How many generations is that? It's 3 to 4 generations. Think about what did 4 generations look like from now to back 100 years. Nuclear power wasn't even in the thought process. Where were we 100 years ago? Different technologies, different science. So think about the science 100 years from now. So in a more simpler place, let's just kind of bring this closer together. The people you're going to need, remember I told you the pipeline programs for those senior reactor operators, those operators. The people who are going to come in those pipelines 10 years from now, how old are they? They're in grades 4 through 8. They're in grade school right now. The people you're going to need in 10 years for your plants or for your businesses are in grade school today. They're the little kids you see running around making all that noise. And they're going to be your future operators. So think about that. Scary thought, isn't it? So you've got people who you're going to need in 6 to 10 years are in grade school. The ones that you're going to need in just 3 to 5 years from now, they're in high school, starting to go to high school. The ones you're going to need in the next couple of years, they're currently in your colleges. And then the ones you need now are currently in your graduate programs. So at Palo Verde, for instance, we have an operating license that's going to take us to the year 2044, with the potential extension going to 2064. That means the generation of technicians that are going to decommission that plant, close it down, put it back to natural earth, those folks aren't even born yet. And so the knowledge processes we put in place today, the strategies we are putting together today, and we've put together historically, are going to be needed for that generation yet to come. So Mr. Day, when he presented yesterday, was very topical. It's very real, those strategies. Some of that knowledge has to be shelved and put away and used later. Some of that knowledge will no longer apply and needs to be discarded, and some of that knowledge will need to be created. So understand that balance between what you're going to need today and what you're going to need 8 to 10 years from now. So how did we do it at Palo Verde? What was our solution to solve this problem of technicians that we're going to need for the future? Well, we put a plan together, and like any good organization, we went to the government for help. Now, typically, the government in the United States rarely provides assistance, but we actually got a grant. Can you believe that? We've got the largest single grant ever awarded in the energy sector in the United States was given to Palo Verde and our community college schools to build what we refer to as the Arizona Suncor Get Into Energy Consortium. And it's 5 colleges building common curriculum, not just for nuclear, but for the energy sector job. So it wasn't just for nuclear. The core competencies you need between the first time for the first lower levels of jobs are common regardless of the industry, either nuclear or non-nuclear. And so we have put this together, and we are in about year 2 of that grant. So this is our what we call stackable credentials. It builds upon basic training, fundamental training, and job-specific training with these 2-year degrees. Then there's articulation agreements with our local universities so the students can go on to 4-year degrees. So let me take you to the next slide because it's actually a better picture. Sorry about that. So what does it look like? What are my basic competencies that I need in personal effectiveness, academic requirements, and workforce requirements? Interpersonal skills, integrity, professionalism, motivation, dependability, reliability, self-development. Those are things we have to teach those students. So when they come to us, they have those foundational skills. What are the academic requirements? Mathematics. What an interesting concept. You're going to work in nuclear power. You think you might know a little bit of math, right? Just a little bit of math. Writing. Nobody can write anymore. Everybody texts in the messages. It's a problem for us. When we're trying to read our corrective action documents and somebody's entering a corrective action document, these are degreed people who cannot spell, who cannot use the proper English, and so you don't understand what they're writing. It's a very big problem, and we're still tackling it. Listening, I never do. Speaking, I do too much. Engineering technology and critical analysis thinking, being able to solve problems, to be innovative. Workplace requirements, and then we go into a lot of these things. These are the basic skills. They get these skills in year 1 of the training program. Year 2, we start focusing on energy industry fundamentals. And now we're getting to more specific industry-wide technical skills in terms of industry principles and concepts, safety awareness, regulation, troubleshooting, and then we help them understand our business that we operate in, nuclear, non-nuclear, transmission, distribution, gas distribution. So we're teaching them at the technical college level, the 2-year college level, those basic foundational skills so they don't have to get that retrained at the plant. Then the last year, is very specific occupational training depending on where they're going to go. And that could be lineman, technician, mechanics, operations, radiation protection. Those are the key areas. And so we've built this. We have now tried it out for 2 years. It is an industry best practice. It is being shared across the United States. And ironically enough, interestingly enough, to the Czech Republic, got this information about a year and a half ago, and they're building it into their program in the Czech Republic. It was in a presentation I saw in the Human Resource Development Conference at IEA, and I had a big smile on my face when I saw that she put that up there, because I had no idea they had done that. And they're capturing the same sort of concept. So this is public domain. It's available to any state, any organization to use. We made it publicly available. So because of time, I'm going to go a little bit faster the rest of this presentation. I wanted you to get an idea of the types of credentials that you have to build, the foundational skills that are necessary for a successful knowledge management program. Because knowledge management is about learning, training, development of people, and how you do that. So this particular program, they can go into, I keep hitting the wrong button on this thing. They can go into a number of different attributes. The one that goes into nuclear is the one on the end. But you can see all the different things. So we have our outreach. We try to bring people into the program. We give them prior learning assessments. We build some foundational assessment skills. We get specific credentials for jobs. There are certificates they get along the way, and then job opportunities, and these are the jobs. So that's the important piece. If you're building a pipeline program for your organization, or you're considering a pipeline program as part of your solution for a knowledge management strategy, you have to think it from the beginning, the middle, and what the end result's going to look like for those graduates. And they have to have opportunities for those graduates at the end. So I already walked through all of this. You can get this off the website. I won't spend too much time. These are the different credentials, certifications. This is an example of our power plant technology curriculum. These are the courses, and these are, you know, this is the amount of credits. And I just wanted you to see the types of things we're teaching at the community college level. It's very important to see this. We're teaching them oral communication, physics, math, technical math, industry fundamentals, power plant systems, reactor theory, 1 and 2. These are the types of courses at the two-year college that we're presenting to these students that are coming to Palo Verde and any other nuclear plant or any other sort of plant in the future. We're trying to help them have those skills ready for success. So when they come to us, their retention is better. So we have an internship program for our maintenance. These are the types of, it's a one-year program. It's a first term, second term, and then output. They bid into the apprenticeship program. These are the courses. I'm going to get us out here on time. These are some restrictive electives based on the particular type of program, so there's some structure to it. We're part of the Nuclear Uniform Curriculum Program in the U.S. This is where all the nuclear utilities have come together and established a common curriculum for NPPs. This is just shows you what those look like. And then in addition to that training that they get at the community college, once they come on board, they get additional training. Here's an example of some type of training for non-licensed operators. Chemistry training for our chemists. Our maintenance training, the types of maintenance fundamentals that they get. Again, student success through the program so far, through the college. 92% of the students receive a NCRC, which is a certificate, a National Career Readiness Certificate. 79% have received Employability Skills Certificate. 85% have received an ANSI Certificate on Energy Industry Fundamentals. 76% of apprentices have been hired through our program. And we've had a 69% pass rate in our pre-employment test for the apprentices. So that's at the two-year program. Now let's talk about the engineers, because a lot of you are engineers. When we bring an engineer into Palo Verde, we do not put them to work. We put them through a 18-month training program, and we rotate them to different organizations. So something to think about. We run our engineers through design engineering, plant engineering, nuclear fuel, PRA, probabilistic risk analysis, oversight and QA. What an unusual concept. You're going to run your engineers through QA department. Why do we do that? Why do you think we do that? Safety standards. They have to understand safety standards. They're the first line of quality work. You need to understand the standards and how we assess those standards. Before we put them to work, we make them go through an oral board. These are already students, people who got their engineering degree. They already spent 6 years at a college and they got their degree, but they're not ready for us yet. They have foundational skills. They don't have specific power plant skills. We are going to run them through an oral board at every step of the way. And then we try to match them up with jobs that are available based on their skill set. So you may come into us as a chemical engineer, but by the time we're done with you, you may go into systems engineering. How about that? You may go and come in as an electrical engineer, but end up as a INC engineer. You may come in as a nuclear engineer and end up as a design engineer. It's happened. And then finally, our output is into our ops and shift technical advisor role. So we try to move engineers into the operations. We try to get them experience in the operations as part of the training program. So let me give you some pipeline results. This is the program results at Palo Verde. When you bring talent in and you select the right talent, I'll talk about that in another presentation, and you develop them and you invest in that talent, they stay with you. 90% retention rate for the last 7 years for our engineering program. We're keeping 90% of the students that come in. They're staying as employees. 93% retention rate for our auxiliary operator development program. We're keeping 100% of our reactor operators. We're not losing them. Our apprenticeship program intern, our conversion from the interns to the apprentices is 81%. Our apprenticeship program rate, people who go into our apprenticeship program stay. They don't leave the company. And then our summer internship program, we're about a 50% conversion. The number's not on there. I don't want to publish it. But it gives you an idea that when you have defined processes, defined curriculum, defined development, and they know it, they're part of it, they're engaged with it, they stay with the organization. They're linked together. So, key points to consider. The curriculum must have support and ownership by the company. We helped write the curriculum at the community colleges. Are you part of that process in your organization? Are you engaged at the universities to ensure that the curriculum that's being taught is the type of information that your organizations are going to need? Number two, there must be some opportunities for students at the end of the process. If you're overproducing students in a graduate in a program and they're not being hired, that program will die at the university level. The university will only produce students for which they know they're getting some output and those students are getting placed. Very important, because nobody's going to go into a program and make that investment of time and money to find at the end of the process there's no job for them. So you've got to have that supply and balance between what you need, and I'm going to talk about workforce planning later on, to what are you getting in your pipeline program. And finally, you must yield results that's valued by the students, the school, and the company. You're in this together. It's a team approach. All of us are in this together, the universities, the employers, and the students. I want to get you back out on time. Any questions for me on this process, high level? All right, thank you.
Questions? Yeah, here and then there.
The second slide, please.
Which slide, please?
Second.
Second.
Yes. This one? Yes. Why don't we transfer knowledge from expert worker to industry, or from independent competent worker to new to industry?
So I'm going to talk about this. I'm going to talk about this a little bit in some other presentations. This is done through defined training programs. They come into your organization and you run them through an orientation process, a development process, and you put them into a defined training. The risk assessment process that I'll be talking about and others will be talking about is closing this gap right here.
But you're asking why we are not?
Where we are not. I don't get the question. I don't understand the question.
Thank you. Okay.
Does that help? Did I answer your question?
Yeah.
Okay.
There was another question here. You will get all the presentations. We will start putting all of them in the CLP for net. So get sure that your access to the school, so you have pre-training and you have school. Get sure that your access to the school is there.
Okay.
Just one curiosity. How many students can you form every year, and how many jobs you need to replace on the nuclear power plant? Yes.
We have about 150 people in our pipeline program. We hire about 190 to 100 every year. The school right now is producing about, well, they produced about 150 last year. They'll produce 200 this next year, but we're trying to get those students farmed into other industries, not just our industry, because on those credentials, we're only picking the top credentials, those who score the best. We're going to go into nuclear. But we're using those pipelines to feed other companies, other utilities that are not nuclear in the area. So we have partnership with them. This was just Arizona, but the model's being adopted entire U.S. That's what we got the grant for. Yes, sir.
Okay. What do you think about the economic aspect to retain people?
The economic aspect. So that's a great question. The question is, what about the economic aspect? So let me tell you how important that is. You got these numbers you will not believe, but I'll tell you. To train an operator, from the time you bring them on board, that individual on board, the time they get their licensed, reactor license is $250,000. The time they go and get their senior reactor operator is about $350,000 to $400,000. That's for a reactor operator. For our craft, it's about $150,000. And for the engineers, it's about $100,000. So the economics are, having a program like this, we're saving millions. Annually, millions. Forget the cost of recruitment. We're just talking about the cost of development. And every employee that we hire and we invest into, the spend on that employee between the time he or she is hired to the time they leave the organization 20 or 30 years later is over $10 million over their lifetime with benefits, training, and compensation. Excuse me? Per person. Because the average wage for an individual is about 80 to 100,000 USD plus benefits, so it's about 150,000 USD on the average. Some are higher, some are lower. And then you multiply that times 30, add inflation to that, and then add the training piece to that.
But you're including salaries?
Yeah, salaries. Because
okay, it's not training and then.
Yeah, just so include salaries.
So, okay.
Yeah, the training alone is about a quarter of a million.
Okay, thank you very
much.
Very interesting presentation. Thank you.